This show will first be broadcast on Wednesday, June 18th, 2025, on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician. We're coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprout. You may also watch the recorded Facebook Live episode at Fran Storch ND for 30 days and also on my YouTube channel at Radio Naturopath. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. What's going on with me? We're going on 5 weeks of this femoral neuralgia pain, and it's not all gone, and it rises and falls depending on what I have done. It's better with rest, sometimes worse. I think yesterday I did too much yoga. I did a standing balance pose just to see if I could do it. I did tree pose on my left leg, and I was able to do it, which means I haven't completely lost strength in the leg, but the nerve was not happy with that, and I put some pressure on the nerve, and then I had a flare. So I rested more and took an Epsom salt bath and slathered a lot of stuff on. I'm still not taking any pharmaceutical anti-inflammatories, so I'm done. I haven't taken acetaminophen or naproxen or Medrol or anything like that. I'm able to handle the pain pretty much, and what I'm mostly doing is topicals, and the topicals take the edge off. They definitely do. And my favorite topicals have at least menthol and camphor in them. And menthol and camphor give you that cold sensation. And then if they also have capsaicin in them, they give you a warm sensation too. So it's kind of a counter irritant, and it makes it so that there's less pain. Last night it was raw and chilly out, and I put the stuff on and it made me feel really cold, and I had to put on a thermal nightgown and get under the covers. And, you know, it eases off after a while. Sometimes I will feel more sore after I have been sleeping, and then when I do my PT exercises, I feel somewhat better. So that happened today, so I'm grateful for that. I'm a little bit better now, but not as good as I was, say, Friday. I had a really good day. Who knows why? I had patient care. I didn't think I sat as much, and then I had a chiropractic appointment, and that was helpful. So I was okay until late, after I took my shower yesterday, Sunday. So that was an issue. Anyway, so I'm still, you know, working on managing pain. Fortunately, the insurance company came through and they approved me having a lumbar MRI. So that's scheduled for this week. And then I actually have an appointment scheduled with the spinal surgeon the following week. So we'll keep you updated on the next time I talk to you. I will have had the MRI. I'll get to sit in the tube and listen to the Industrial Symphony. And that's exciting. And I think they're going to let me listen to the Foo Fighters if I want to, or some kind of music if I want to.
Or Beethoven.
I could listen to Beethoven. I probably won't. I probably listen to the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
Or The Offspring or something like that. You know, some fun rock stuff.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on with me. Ron's health update is interesting. I don't know if we had it on my show, if we had said this yet, but you can say it. What's your latest?
Oh, boy, my latest is the latest of latest. I of course, you know, have been trying to figure out what the heck's wrong with me and why my muscles don't work from the neck down. And we, of course, figured this out after a neurology exam and then an MRI. And moving forward, spinal surgeons, and I chose my surgeon, who is also going to be your doctor.
That's right.
Also for this sort of thing, over at
Go Huskies,
our friends at UConn,
right.
Yeah, and UConn Health. And it has been presented to me that I have no more space left in my cervical spine for any of my spinal fluid.
Right. Because you have such severe stenosis.
Yeah, I have very, very severe spinal stenosis.
In your cervical
and
spine.
I have, if you take a look at the x-ray, it's really interesting because you look at the x-ray and you can see all these little, like little round nodules on each and every vertebrae. Those are bone spurs, which are also known as arthritis.
Yeah.
And so they're going to clean that all up and open up my spinal column in my neck so that I can get spinal fluid back there again, take the pressure off of the nerve, and I should be back good as new. With, I can't afford a titanium bicycle, but I'm going to get a titanium neck.
Wow.
How about that?
That's exciting. Yeah, you're going to have hardware in there.
Hardware. Lots of it.
And we have a friend who let's keep him private, but we have a friend who had the same surgery, and he has hardware in his neck, and he's riding his bike like a fiend.
And he showed us his picture of his neck.
What are you eating?
It's a breakfast cookie. Thank you.
Oh, right. Those great breakfast cookies.
Yes, it is.
Yes. If I could stand, I would make you some breakfast cookies.
And he showed us the x-ray image, which is really cool because you can see all the hardware inside his neck.
Right.
Pretty wild.
You're not going to be able to have MRIs.
No.
After this. Yeah.
No.
Unless, I wonder if you can have MRIs.
Titanium is okay and not.
I don't know. And I don't. Right. Titanium might be okay. I'm not sure. But they ask you all that, you know, that before you have your MRI, they ask you, do you have this, 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 and this? So when I go for my MRI, usually I put magnesium oil all over my body, you know, to help calm my nerves and muscles down. I think I'm not going to do that because it's a metal. And I'm not going to wear any jewelry. I'm going to, usually I like to wear jewelry to work because the MRI is before work, the work day. So I'm going to pack my jewelry in a little pouch and put it on when I get to the office.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have to remember no magnesium and no, and I can't do Epsom salt lotion. I usually do Epsom salt body wash in the shower. Can't do that either. So I don't know if that's true or not, that you can't even use, you know, topical magnesium, but it is metal. So I figure I better stay away from it before the MRI. Yeah. So that's coming up. And yeah, it's exciting. So he has been scheduled for surgery. Yeah. So he's going to go to the Dempsey Hotel.
On the 24th.
24th. Yeah.
Right. So coming up soon.
And I don't get to go to the Cape. Wah. So I'm going to, I've scheduled off for that day.
You get to wait for me to get out of a 5-hour surgery.
I know. So hopefully Susan will join me. Do you think she will?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's going to be there. She's already told me she's going to be there.
Right. So
she's actually coming back from the Cape early.
Or you mean Nantucket.
They're on Nantucket.
Right.
And she's
going to sit in John Dempsey with me.
Yeah, she is.
Good. That's good. So that's what I figured. At least I'd get to have some time with my sister-in-law, and we'll both be plotting and fuming and you know, and fretting about you while we're in there.
I'm going to be fine.
I'll bring a deck of cards.
I have a real positive outlook.
If I should bring a deck of cards or
you do whatever you do.
Because I'm going to have to think of 5 hours of stuff to talk to Susan about.
I am not going to be even thinking about that.
We're going to be stressing. It's going to be fun. All right. So anyway, that's the 24th. And then I'm not working the rest of the week. So depending on how many days you're in there, I'll be schlepping back and forth. And then I'll certainly be schlepping to come get you when you are done.
Right. But I should only be in for 2 days, they said.
Okay, so you'll be out.
Probably 2 nights.
You'll be out Wednesday.
Thursday. Maybe.
Oh, no. Right,
if
Thursday.
I'm going in on Tuesday.
And you should be out Thursday.
And I have my operation on Tuesday. I'll be there Tuesday night, and I should be there Wednesday night and possibly being released on Thursday.
Okay, so I'm going to give my nice car a new workout. Oh, can you do me a favor and plug my car in, or show me how to plug my car in?
Because I don't know how to do it. It's really simple.
I can't use yours, right?
Oh, yeah.
I can use yours?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you have to show me how to do it. So I don't even have to take my cord out of my car. I can use yours.
That's correct.
Okay, I tried to do it, and I did it wrong.
It's the house cord. It's just, it fits in both of our cars.
Okay, you'll show me.
I'll show you.
You show me.
I'll show you.
We don't have to do it now. We can do it tonight because it's cheaper at night, right?
After 9 o'clock, yes.
Oh, okay. So let's do it tonight. That's cool.
And I'll show you how to do it.
Okay, we'll show us how to do it.
That's
exciting.
Not very naturopathy information, but that's okay.
Yeah, but no, it's just banter. Mm-hmm. Banter is allowed. Yeah. So,
okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I'm really looking forward to this because, you know, if I can get to the point where I have, you know, feeling back in my legs, and, well, not that I don't have feeling there right now. I have severe fatigue.
Right.
If I can make that go away, that's going to be exciting.
I know. I feel you. I would really like to not have pain in my back and my tush and the front of my thigh.
And then there's that. And I have that too.
Yeah. And it also impedes walking, and I already have arthritis in my knees, and my knees have to help support me with this compromised femoral nerve, which is not good. So thank goodness my right side seems to be spared at the moment. I was talking to a friend who wound up having back surgery like 10 years ago or 11 years ago, and he had bilateral sciatica. And he had, they just went in and they cleaned things up, and then he was a lot better, and he doesn't have pain anymore. He has a little bit of numbness in one foot, but that's it. I don't have, my feet are spared, which is great. On a bad day, I have some prickling in my shin, but most of the discomfort is on the lateral side of my left thigh. So we know, and I know I have anterior listhesis of L2 over L3, which means my L2 is pushed forward over my L3 because there's just not enough disc to hold it in place. And who knows what else is going on if there's calcifications. And so you said something funny. You said that calcifications are arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't arthritis. They are a symptom of arthritis, because what happens is the vertebrae are not sitting, they're supposed to stack neatly on top of each other with a form, but if you lose disc height, then they don't sit properly, so then the bones rub against each other, and when you have bones rubbing on anything, your body tries to heal it and protect you by making calcifications. Mm-hmm. And there is a picture of, what is that, your MRI?
No, this is just a picture of a neck
of a cervical spine.
Right, cervical spine.
Thank you.
With many closed up avenues.
Oh, so that is an example of cervical stenosis. I see.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Very exciting. Okay, so last week I was talking about vegan diets and how vegans sometimes have trouble getting enough protein in their diets. And we were talking about how you might want to add a protein powder just so that you get your protein levels topped up. And there's two amino acids in particular that that people with people who are vegans don't get enough of. And one of them is leucine and one of them is lysine. So they are two essential amino acids in the three liars, Val, Lucy, and me. Lucy is leucine and the liar is lysine. And so anyway, so if you are a vegan, here's some ways to get extra leucine in your diet. So here's 10 healthy high leucine foods. So leucine is a branched chain amino acid, and you need it to build muscle mass. So it can be harder to build muscle mass if you're a vegan, if you're not getting all your essential amino acids. Now, there are vegans who say, yep, I'm doing everything right. I have great muscle mass. I'm a vegan, and it's all working for me. So great. So if you've figured that out, I'd love to hear about it. Your body can make some amino acids themselves, and those are not the essential amino acids. The ones that you must obtain from your diet are essential amino acids. So leucine, L-E-U-C-I-N-E, is a branched chain amino acid. So that means that, you see, when you have organic compounds they don't just have an empirical structure. So an empirical formula would be something like, this may not be a real thing, but I'm just going to spit something out. So an example of an empirical formula of amino acid would be C4H11O22N23, something like that. It's going to have carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen in it. And that's just the formula. That doesn't tell you what the compound looks like in space, because you can have the same empirical formula and have two different compounds based on how they're arranged in space. So a branched chain amino acid is going to be an amino acid that has an NH4 group, ammonium group, or maybe it's an NH3 group. Anyway, so what it's going to do, it's going to have, there's going to be branched carbon chains off of the main chain. So there's going to be at least two carbon chains that branch off the main carbon chain. And that's what a branched chain amino acid is. The branched chain amino acids are the ones that are known to be essential. They are essential amino acids, but they are also very necessary in building muscle mass. So it's going to be hard to build muscle if you don't have adequate leucine. The other two branch chain amino acids are valine and isoleucine. And so they are important for they're important for building and repairing muscle. And getting enough leucine may prevent muscle wasting as you get to be an adult. Leucine can also help you manage blood sugar, and it's thought that it does so by facilitating glucose uptake into your cells and improving your insulin response. Most adults, the current recommendation for leucine is a minimum of 25 milligrams per pound, which is 55 milligrams per kilogram. So 25 milligrams per pound, so that's going to be 4.4 grams a day for a 175-pound person. So in a more recent study, the World Health Organization says that healthy adults should get only 18 milligrams of leucine per pound, which is 39 milligrams per kilogram. So that's a little bit less. That's going to be 3.1 grams if you're 175 pounds. So if you weigh less than that, it's going to be a little bit less. And obviously, if it's more, you're going to need more than that. When you're deficient in this amino acid, it's unusual because a lot of foods have a lot of leucine in it. So here's 10 foods that are high in leucine. So I'll tell you all of them. A lot of them, or some of them, are not vegan. So here's one vegan source: canned navy beans. All you have to do is eat a third of a cup of them and you get 0.7 grams of leucine. So they have a lot of protein, fiber, micronutrients, folate, B vitamins, manganese, iron, phosphorus, magnesium, potassium. When you eat navy beans, it can be helpful for your heart health, improve your metabolic risk factors that are associated with obesity, like hypertension, high cholesterol, blood sugar levels. And canned navy beans have phosphatidylserine in it, which is a fatty compound that is essential for the health of all of the cell membranes in your of your nerves in your body. So phosphatidylserine is something I take it every day. It's something that you take to help to preserve and protect and rebuild nerves. Navy beans have a neutral flavor. They don't taste like much. They taste a little beany, and they're not super, I mean, they're kind of on the savory side. So you can season them however you like. You can put them in a soup or a salad or marinate them. You can put any seasoning you want. You can make them savory. You can make them sweet. You can make them vinegary. You can make them garlicky. You can make them lemony. So you can eat them however you want. They're very nice. They add a very nice texture to your soup. And they're very nice. And if you don't mind beans, they're very nice in your salad. So, and they're anybody, you know, if you're a vegan, you can eat them. So the next one that's high in leucine is cottage cheese. So cottage cheese, if you're a vegan, you're not going to eat that. Is your vegan cottage cheese going to have a lot of leucine in it? The answer is, I don't know, because I haven't checked. So you can get vegan cottage cheese, and it depends what it's made of, what kind of amino acid profile it's going to have. I don't know that a lot of dairy substitutes have a lot of protein, and it depends what it is. Sometimes they add pea protein or other mixed proteins to dairy substitutes so that they do have a decent amount of protein in them. So if you're going to do vegan cottage cheese, you have to look and see what the deal is in terms of what kind of amino acids they have in them and what protein their protein content is. But if you're able to eat cottage cheese, it has a really high protein content. It can help support your fat loss by keeping you full longer, and it can help you gain muscle mass if you also do resistance training. So cottage cheese is lovely with berries and nuts for a filling breakfast. You can use it to make stuff pasta shells and other pasta fillings. You can enjoy it as a side for any entree. You can use it instead of mayonnaise in sandwiches. You can make it savory. When I was a kid, we would get kosher Passover cottage cheese on Passover. And you could make like a spring salad. So you take cottage cheese and you cut up crunchy vegetables into it. So you could put radishes and carrots and celery and cucumber into it and stir that in and then season it. And it's nice if you season it with Italian seasoning or a seasoning that's kind of garlicky, oniony. And you can eat it savory. It tastes very nice savory as well. And it has that, you know, those little curds. And if you like the texture of those curds, they're kind of fun. But again, this is not a vegan solution. The navy beans are. Sesame seeds, a vegan solution. As long as you're not allergic to them, make sure that you're not. 2 tablespoons has 18 grams of sesame seed in it. And 2 tablespoons have a quarter of a gram of leucine, 250 milligrams. No, 2500 milligrams. Yeah, Right. So sesame seeds are very nutrient dense. They have fiber, calcium, manganese, protein, magnesium, zinc, B vitamins, and they have plant compounds that human and animal studies show can reduce inflammation, manage blood sugar, lower your high cholesterol levels, which they have MUFAs in them, monounsaturated fatty acids, which do all those things. Sesame seeds have a real pop to them. They're great in stir fries and Japanese dishes and Chinese dishes. You can put them in pasta. They're, you know, to make, if you make those sesame noodles, they're wonderful. You can even put them in smoothies, and you can put them on green salads. You can also try sesame seed butter, which is also known as tahini. And so tahini is one of the ingredients in halva, and halva is a yummy confection that you, that's Eastern Europe, of Eastern European origin. So generally Jewish people and anybody from the Middle East with any Middle Eastern heritage often likes to eat tahini and halva. So I've been given halva since I was a kid, so I have a taste for it. Not everybody likes sesame seeds or halva because it is different. It's weird tasting. It doesn't taste like, can have the texture of peanut butter, but it doesn't taste like peanut butter. So some people might find it weird. But if you can develop a taste for it, it's a really lovely, healthy food. And if you're vegan, you can get some leucine out of it. All right. Then there's pumpkin seeds, pepitas. And those are lovely. So if you have a little of this and a little of that and a little of the other thing, you can get your leucine on. And I love pumpkin seeds. I like pumpkin seeds plain. They add a nice crunch to your oatmeal. And I get seasoned pumpkin seeds. You can get, I have pumpkin seeds that are cayenne seasoned. I have others that are tamari seasoned. And they're lovely like that. They have a lot of compounds that are helpful for health. They have nutrients like protein, fiber, also have MUFAs, monounsaturated fatty acids. They have phosphorus, manganese, magnesium, copper, zinc, and iron. If you eat them, if you eat any seeds regularly, they're good for heart health because of the MUFAs, the monounsaturated fats. You can have pumpkin seeds and also chia, hemp, flax, sesame, and sunflower seeds. They're really good when they're seasoned and roasted, mixed into granola or trail mix, or blended into pesto, and you can put them in breads and cookies. Now we're going on to another non-vegan source of leucine, and that is eggs. One extra large egg has 0.6 grams of leucine, so that's going to be 600 milligrams of leucine. Eggs are also full of protein, B vitamins, phosphorus, selenium, and choline. And choline is, you really need that for cellular and brain health. They also have lutein, zeaxanthin, and they're going to have more lutein, zeaxanthin if they're free range. And so when the chickens run around and scratch, they're going to be eating bugs and seeds and grass, and you're going to have a lot more carotenoids if they're than if they're only given feed. So you'll notice that if you crack two eggs, a commercial egg versus a free-range egg, side by side, you'll notice that the yolk on the free-range egg is much darker. That's because it has a lot more carotenoids, because the animals are running around chewing on plants, like straight-up plants, which have a lot of carotenoids in them. So you, and plants have lutein, zeaxanthin in them, and those go into your body, and they help with your eye health. They're great antioxidants, and they go straight to your eyes and help with keeping your eyes healthy. So if you have boiled eggs, you can carry them with you. You can cook them into a scramble, put them in baked goods, anything, waffles, muffins, bread, whatever you like. Then there's hemp seeds. And hemp seeds I eat most days. I keep them in the house and I put them on food. 3 tablespoons have 650 milligrams of leucine. And they're rich in protein, fiber, manganese, and vitamin E. Also have MUFAs in them, and they have anti-inflammatory properties. And human and animal studies show that they are hemp seed based supplements can improve arthritis symptoms and support digestive and heart health. They're tiny, they're versatile, they have a subtle earthy flavor. You can sprinkle them onto salads, pasta dishes, put in smoothies. You can even put them on desserts because they have a nutty taste to them. And so you can put them on your ice cream if you want to. And if you're a vegan, you can put them on your vegan ice cream. So they're definitely vegan. Then there's lentils. Lentils are definitely vegan. So a cup of cooked lentils has 1.3 grams of leucine. That's probably because when you're eating the lentils are hulled. And so you're eating more of the inside, which is where all the amino acids are. So because lentils are tiny, so you're getting more amino acid per bean, which is more than what you're getting from an actual bean. So So a cup of lentils has 1.3 grams of leucine. So if you have dal or any kind of lentil soup, you're going to get your lentil, you're going to get your leucine on. They have fiber, antioxidants, protein, and they have flavonoids that help promote your heart and your brain. And you can use them the same way you use beans. You can marinate them as a side dish in soups and salads. And you can make homemade veggie burger patties. And you can also find pre-made veggie burgers that have lentils as one of the ingredients. Then there's spirulina. Spirulina, of course, is vegan. And I put spirulina in my smoothies every day. And it's a type of blue-green algae. It comes in a powder. You can also get it in pills. But I use the powder and I put it in my smoothie. It makes my smoothie kind of green. It has protein, B vitamins, copper, iron. Again, you can add it to smoothies and juices. You can put them in energy balls, like if you make, you know, energy chunks or balls. And you can buy pre-made energy chunks that have spirulina in them. You can put them in a savory pudding or a popsicle. I don't see why you couldn't put them in a, like if you're making a chia pudding that was sweet, you could probably throw it in and it wouldn't affect the taste too much. 2 tablespoons has 690 milligrams of leucine. So you get a decent amount of leucine for a little bit of spirulina. And the algae, now you don't have to eat 2 tablespoons. If you're also eating lentils and beans and nuts and seeds and you're getting other sources of leucine during your day. So leucine can help benefit your gut microbiome. And they may also support heart health and manage blood sugar levels. All right. Then there's peanuts, definitely vegan. And if you have a 1 ounce serving of Spanish peanuts, has 500 milligrams of leucine. So peanuts, of course, make sure you're not allergic to them. If you aren't, peanuts are a great thing to eat. And just make sure that they're organic. And it's better if they are grown in the Southwest so that they don't have aflatoxin in them. They have unsaturated fats. They have linolenic acid in them, protein, fiber. They used to use peanut butter as an easy protein source in the sanitariums, the places where people went to recover from tuberculosis. And so because of all this fat, fiber, and protein, it can help to protect against cardiovascular disease. They're a great snack on their own. You can use them to make peanut noodles, peanut soup, granola, trail mixes, again, energy balls, and homemade peanut butter. And if you're my dad, may he rest in peace, one of his favorite snacks was honey roasted peanut butter. Honey roasted peanuts. You can get honey roasted peanut butter. That's a thing. And you can get it at the Willimantic Food Co-op if you want to. But he used to like to eat honey roasted peanuts. And I like them too. I keep them in the house to remind me of my dad. My dad's birthday happened recently. He turned 88 in heaven. Amazing, right? So I keep the honey roasted peanuts around and we snack on them and I finish the container and then we get some more and I just always have them around. Makes me think of my dad. All right. Then there's oats. A cup of oats. A cup of cooked oats has 500 milligrams of leucine. So this is it. Now you're getting into a whole grain that has a bunch of leucine in it. They have more protein and fiber than most other grains, and they contain the beta-glucan, which is shown to benefit heart health and also your immune system. They're renowned as the key ingredient in oatmeal. They can be ground into flour for baking. You can add them to smoothies or toasted for homemade granola. And you can buy pre-made bars that are chiefly oats, and you can get oat-based ice cream, too, if you are vegan. Well, even if you're not vegan, it's just they make ice cream that's made of oats. And some of the flavors are good. Some of them are okay. But I do have some favorite ice creams that are oat-based, and they're very good. So leucine is an essential branched-chain amino acid, which means you have to eat it. And it's especially important for muscle repair and building, and you can't make it yourself. So you have to get it from your diet. Leucine deficiency is rare, but you have to get enough of it to manage your blood sugar level and prevent muscle. So if you eat a varied diet, if you eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds, clean protein, whether it's vegan protein or animal protein or dairy, you're probably going to get your leucine in. You don't have to take extra leucine. So eggs, seeds, oats, legumes, spirulina, which are pretty easy to incorporate into your diet. Here's a suggestion that's written here. Make up some oatmeal for yourself or overnight oats, and you can sprinkle it with hemp or pumpkin seeds and add a spoonful of natural peanut butter. or tahini, and you can add fresh fruit, nuts, and milk, and so that's one way that you can get your leucine on. All right, so that's leucine, and now there's lysine. Lysine also is harder for people to get if they are vegan. So let's find out where to get the lysine. Lysine is, there's a lot of foods that have lysine in them. So there's going to be a bunch of things to tell you about here. So lysine helps your body build proteins, supports your immune system. Lysine, if you're deficient in lysine and you have herpes simplex, so you get cold sores or you get genital herpes, you're going to be more likely to have outbreaks if your lysine is low. It's in food like meat, seafood, dairy, and in plants like fruits, vegetables, nuts, and grains. So it's in lots of different foods. It's one of the amino acids, three liars. It's the second one in the three liars mnemonic. So lysine is the liar, but it is truthfully a very good for you. So it's one of the amino acids that your body needs to build proteins. So you need it for your collagen. You need it for your muscle mass. It's not a branch chain amino acid. Your branch chains, as we said, are leucine, isoleucine, and valine. Lysine is not one of those, but you do need it for muscle building and collagen building. Our bodies can't produce essential amino acids. If a food is essential, that means you have to eat it. So if it's an essential mineral, an essential fat, or essential vitamin, or essential amino acid, the word essential before a nutrient means that we don't make it, you have to eat it. So lysine is important in supporting your immune system. It can help improve athletic performance. And I already said this thing about the herpes simplex. When you have herpes simplex, and also if you have diabetes, you can benefit from having extra lysine on board. It varies based on what you're using it for. So the dietary guideline is a gram a day. And if people have something that they're trying to prevent, so if a person is stressed and they're having more flares of cold sores or of genital herpes, I'll have them take 500 to 1,000 milligrams of lysine a day for prevention. And then when they have an outbreak, I have them take 1,000 milligrams three times a day. So don't do this without talking to somebody, please. When I give you advice, it's not really advice. It's technically information, and you should always be consulting with a practitioner of some kind, whether it's your physician or your naturopath or a health counselor of some kind. All right. So there are plant-based foods that are rich in lysine. Yay. So if you are a vegan, here's some plant-based foods. You can get plenty from vegan or vegetarian sources. And the things that you get them from tend to be rich in vitamins and minerals too, and fiber. So let's see. So here are vegetables and fruit that are rich in lysine. So avocados are one of them. So Ron eats a whole, you eat an avocado a day, don't you?
At least one.
At least, because you put a whole avocado in your smoothie. And then we have salad.
Half an avocado in my salad. Yeah.
And then I don't sometimes
I have the other half avocado in my sandwich if I make a sandwich.
Oh my goodness. So you eat up to two avocados a day. My goodness.
I don't do that.
I tend to eat, once in a while I have avocado in a sandwich. But mostly I have the avocado in the salad, and when I have and we don't have salad every day, so I'm having half an avocado on salad days.
Right. Yeah. I'm trying to get my cholesterol down, so I figured this would be as good a way as any.
I should probably do that too. I mean, you don't have to just eat avocados. Any fiber is going to help you. And I try to get some chia seeds on board every day. Chia seeds and or hemp seeds.
But avocados have something else, right?
Yeah, it might be the thylakoids. If you could look that up, that would be, or maybe I can find it.
Let's see.
Health benefits of avocados. Let's see. So they are, have a lot of nutrients. They are beneficial for your gut health because they're really high in fiber. So they have prebiotics in them. They help reduce heart disease risk. The vitamins, minerals, and healthy fat and fiber found in avocados keep your cardiovascular system healthy. It says generally it helps prevent heart disease. Many studies investigating the effects of avocado were funded by the Haas Avocado Board, which means they have a stake in it because they. But this article says it doesn't discredit it. But it could skew the results. But avocados may help increase your HDL and decrease your LDL. They have MUFAs. They have monounsaturated fatty acids in them, which is going to help with that. And so will the fiber. And then it has all the antioxidants. It has carotenoids, vitamin C, E, and phenolics. And it also has lutein, alpha-carotene, and beta-carotene, which are great antioxidants. The lutein is really good for your eyes that we talked about already. Because they're high in antioxidants, they can help increase your antioxidant defenses. Boy, you can't lose eating them.
No, and the last visit I had with my cardiologist, my HDL had gone up by 9 points.
That's great.
And my LDL had gone down by like 4 or 5 points.
That's very good.
So yeah. I'm between that and the flaxseed meal.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm on kind of a natural medicine cure
for my
cholesterol.
Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to do anyway, and I like avocados.
They're good. I'll be frank here. If you are eating enough fiber to give yourself a really decent BM, like you're getting one foot long floater a day, you are probably doing the right thing in terms of your fiber. That's what you want to be doing, and it's easier to make that happen if you eat a variety of fruits and vegetables, and if you add in flax and or chia seeds to your diet, that's more likely to happen. And if you're doing that every day, that's a sign that you may be able to lower your lipids as well. You can do avocados during pregnancy and breastfeeding. They're versatile and delicious. So it doesn't say here specifically what's in, but one of the things in avocados, you can look up thylakoids. I believe that thylakoids are one of the compounds that are very helpful in avocados. I believe that the thylakoids also help with fat loss. Okay, so more stuff that's high in lysine we're looking at vegetables and fruit. So dried apricots and mangoes, those are two of my favorite dried fruits to eat, and I like fresh apricot. Well, I like fresh ones too. But the mangoes, in order to eat a mango in Connecticut, it has to be transported. So I try to eat them in season so they haven't, you know, they didn't spend too much time on the boat or the plane, however they got here. Apricots can grow locally. So I do eat fresh apricots when they're in season, and sometimes I'll eat dried apricots. What's really good is chocolate-covered apricots. Those are yummy. And I found some chocolate-covered mangoes, too. You don't want to eat those every day, but I keep dried mangoes in my desk for a snack, and I keep them at home as well. Those are one of my favorite things. I like that whole profile. Apricots, mangoes, and peach. I love all of those. And when I go to the to get the bubble tea at the bubble tea shop, those are my favorite flavors to get. And I love to drink iced tea, plain black iced tea that's a little bit sweet. And I either like it with lemon or I like it with apricot or mango, apricot, mango, or peach. So peach iced tea. I'm not crazy about other fruits in my iced tea, but apricot, mango, or peach, or lemon, those are my favorites. Anyway, so you can get lysine from apricots and mangoes. Beets is another thing that I like to eat. Not everybody likes to eat beets. I happen to. We grate beets into our salad, and I get beet relish, and I get pickled beets, and I'll eat those with my lunch and sometimes with my salad. So beets are great. You can do beets, and you can drink beet juice as well and get your lysine that way. Then there's leeks, which I have trouble eating because they're an allium, so I don't do well with onions and garlic and stuff like that. Leeks tend to be pretty mild, but leeks are relatively high in lysine, and so leeks are great. You can steam them. You can they're great. You know, the classic potato leek soup, and they're versatile. You can put them in stir fries, put them in a lot of things. Tomatoes happen to be relatively high in lysine, so they're not in season yet, and they won't be in season until the end of July and into August and into September a little bit if they can keep them going. But tomatoes, you know, if you can get locally grown tomatoes, they're going to be high in all sorts of things, including lycopene and also lysine. Pears. I love to eat pears. I keep dried pears around. I don't always eat them, but you can get pears at the store any time of year. Of course, their season is late summer into early fall, so you'll get local pears at that time of year. But you can get transported pears any time of year, and they're a nice alternative to apples, and you can use them similarly to apples. When I make an apple crumble, I will usually take a sour pear, an Anjou pear, and I'll throw that into the crumble, and, you know, for a little different taste. And, you know, when you're baking, you like your apples and pears to be on the sour side so that they have a tart counterpoint to whatever sweet you're putting into them. So green and red peppers, so bell peppers, are decent sources of lysine as well. So I don't eat green peppers because whether they're raw or cooked, they give me a stomach ache. And I talked to Brian, the farmer, about this. I said, why do green peppers give me a stomach ache no matter what? And he said, because they're not ripe. So some people eat green peppers no problem. I do not, and it doesn't matter if they're cooked or raw. I don't like to eat fresh red peppers either, but I can eat them in stir fries. I can eat them cooked and stuff, and I can eat fire roasted marinated peppers. Those are fine. Potatoes are also a decent source of lysine. So, you can eat them roasted, oven roasted. Better if they're not deep fried, but if you must, do that once in a while. But you're going to get most of you're going to get your lysine if you bake or oven roast your potatoes. So then there's your legumes. A lot of legumes have lysine in them. All of your soy products, your tempeh, tofu, soybeans, and soy milk are all going to have some lysine in them. And tempeh is an acquired taste. Not everybody likes it. I talked to somebody about increasing soy in their diet, and I said, and I suggested tempeh because tempeh is just fermented soybeans. It's the least processed of the soy products because it's just soybeans stuck together and fermented. So you're going to get an easy to digest and absorb source of soy. But it is an acquired taste. Not everybody likes it. I like it. I don't mind it. I like it sauteed. I like it with a little bit of tamari on it. It's nice when it's seasoned with onions or garlic or other seasonings. Sometimes we put it in, we make sog because I'm not big on dairy. So we have to make our sog with other sources of protein. And sometimes we do tofu and sometimes we do tempeh. More often we do tofu though, because the tofu takes on the flavor of the sog better. And then, of course, soybeans and soy milk, and you can eat edamame snacks if you want to. Roasted edamame, toasted edamame as a snack, and throw those into your salad. Those are nice, too. And then beans. Kidney, navy, and black beans are also decent sources of lysine. Also chickpeas and hummus. So pretty much any lentil that you want to look at is going to have lysine. Remember, they also have leucine in them, so they have lysine, too. This says edamame separate from the soy, now that I see in this list. So edamame is where you take the soybean pod and you lightly steam it, and then you eat the whole thing. You can eat the pod and you can eat the seeds. Well, you can eat the pod. Most people don't. They just open it and eat the steamed seeds inside. And sometimes I'll get edamame pod steamed at a restaurant and they'll put cayenne pepper on it. So you can suck off the cayenne and then eat the seeds, and it's a nice treat. And then your lentils once again. Nuts, seeds, and grains are high in lysine. So again, your pumpkin seeds, which we talked about for the leucine, also pistachios and cashews and macadamia nuts. People are like, oh, don't macadamia nuts have more saturated fat? And so do cashews. Yeah, they do, but I wouldn't worry about that. If you're worried about cardiovascular disease, they have so much fiber and essential fat and monounsaturated fats. I don't think you have to worry about raising cholesterol from those. What's going to raise your cholesterol is too much starch and sugar and processed food and poor quality fats. Eating lots of nuts and seeds and things that are high in fiber are not going to are going to help you lower your cholesterol. I mean, Ron's proof of that with all the avocados and flax seeds that he's eating. Grains aren't usually rich in lysine, but some notable exceptions are. And the reason these grains are high in lysine is because they're not grains. They're calling them grains in this article, but they are actually pseudograins. So one of them is quinoa, and the other is amaranth. Quinoa and amaranth are in the same family, the Amaranthaceae family. And, you know, they have their little tiny seeds that you can cook up, and you can use them the way you would use rice, and they're pretty mellow tasting. Not everybody likes them. Ron doesn't like it as much as I do. I prefer to eat quinoa to rice, and so when we have stir fry, we make up quinoa and we make up rice, and I have the quinoa and he has the rice. Sometimes he'll eat quinoa, like when we make quinoa jambalaya, he'll eat the quinoa at that point because it's well seasoned. We don't eat amaranth really, because amaranth is a little harder to deal with just because the seeds are, quinoa and amaranth are very similar, just amaranth, the seeds are much tinier. But we could eat amaranth, I suppose. Buckwheat is not in the same family as the quinoa. It is a polygonatum. So the neat thing about quinoa, amaranth, and buckwheat is that they're all pseudograins. They are not in the Poaceae family, the cereal grass family. So people tend to tolerate them better. So they're not related to wheat. So because they're seeds, they're actually seeds. And because they're seeds, that's why they're high in these amino acids. They're high in lysine. Those are some great ways to get lysine. Now, the lysine, of course, is high in animal products. So your yogurt, your cheese, your butter, your milk are going to have a bunch of lysine in them. And seafood, of course, has lysine in it, especially shellfish and crustaceans. So oyster, shrimp, and snails are going to be decent sources of lysine. And then your meats, your beef, pork, chicken, any animal protein that you eat is going to be a decent source of lysine. So if you want to have additional lysine because you have herpes simplex on board, you can keep your arginine consumption low, or at least keep your lysine consumption high. So to keep arginine low, unfortunately, you have to take out things like coffee and chocolate and a lot of nuts and seeds. But I find that patients often don't get outbreaks. They don't get outbreaks when they eat those arginine-containing foods, as long as they're not under a lot of stress, they're not eating a lot of sugar, and they are eating a decent amount of lysine. And some people, I just have them take lysine all the time, and that's protective. So grated low-fat Parmesan cheese is high in lysine and lower in arginine. It has 2.2 grams of lysine per 100 grams of cheese and 1.5 grams of arginine. So it's a really good source. Not everybody can eat dairy. Dairy is definitely a good source of lysine. So if you want to have a lysine fest, you can have a potato with cheese on it, grass-fed cheese. Roasted beef and steaks are high in lysine without being high in arginine. That's generally true of any animal protein, whether it's beef, fish, or pork, shellfish, and crustaceans. They tend to be higher in lysine and lower in arginine. And so if you eat those regularly, you're probably going to be okay. So spirulina also happens to be a source of lysine. So again, you can get spirulina in powder and you can get it in pills too. But spirulina powder is nice because, you know, you don't have to swallow a pill. I put it in my protein shake every day. It makes my protein shake a little green. So it has a decent amount of lysine in it. So you can find lysine easily at the health food store, your friendly naturopathic physician, even pharmacies have it. You can buy it online. And if you want to have more lysine as a way to treat a condition, talk to your doctor about it. And if you're trying to treat a condition with lysine supplements without consuming excess arginine, look for lysine that doesn't have arginine in it. So keep it. Now, not that arginine is bad for you. If you don't have herpes, or you can eat plenty of lysine and still get the arginine in, arginine is still good for you. It's a nitric oxide enhancer, which means it's going to be helpful for your arteries and your blood vessels and maintaining good blood pressure. So it's not that arginine is bad. It's just that herpes viruses like to feast on arginine. That's the problem. So you have to make sure your lysine consumption is higher than your arginine consumption if you have herpes simplex. All right, so that's the lysine situation. Let's get started on talking about estrogen and menopause. Estrogen levels are often identified as a key feature of menopause and addressed with hormone replacement therapy that includes estrogen, which some doctors aren't thrilled with. I'm not so thrilled with it either. The researcher Georgi Dinkov explained that estrogen can be carcinogenic and anti-metabolic. That's interesting. So it is a proliferative hormone, and we get concerned when people have a history or a family history of reproductive cancers. And if they have that, then we're concerned about them taking estrogen, because then their reproductive cancers could have estrogen receptors that taking more estrogen could stimulate. So there is that concern. And then there are people who disagree with that idea. So the other thing is that estrogen is anti-metabolic, meaning that it's going to make it so that you're going to be less likely to burn fat, because it is a proliferative hormone. It tends to promote growth. It doesn't tend to promote burning fat. On the other hand, estrogen does push hormone-sensitive lipase. So I think it can be proliferative, and it can also help you with fat loss in that it pushes hormone-sensitive lipase. So there's some issues on either end of that issue. So could it? It's I think there's it can both promote fat loss and also stymie it. Anyway, the suggestion in this article says that it hampers your mitochondria's ability to produce cellular energy as ATP, and it relies on aerobic glycolysis, which severely disrupts oxidative phosphorylation, which disrupts further, which the disruption enhances estrogen's carcinogenic effects. So estrogen production often doesn't decrease with age. So this is what everybody thinks. Everybody thinks that your estrogen doesn't go down with age, but this researcher, Dinkov, suggests that your estrogen production actually doesn't go down with age, so that if you administer estrogen, it's not the universal solution for relieving menopausal symptoms as it's portrayed. So estrogen is conventionally used to reduce hot flashes, even though it's problematic. And the real research shows that it's low progesterone, not estrogen, that's linked with night sweats. So I try to encourage my patients to try natural progesterone as opposed to estrogen. Or if they're already on estrogen, I try to insist that they get on natural progesterone. And even if they don't have a uterus, the whole reason that you put a menopausal woman on progesterone, there's so many health benefits to it, and you definitely don't make it anymore. You don't make significant amounts of it once you're postmenopausal, because the way you make estrogen is either by being pregnant or by ovulating. And when you've stopped ovulating, you're not going to make progesterone. You don't have a corpus luteum to make progesterone. So you don't make it anymore. And progesterone has all these benefits. It helps you sleep. It helps to build muscle. It helps to build bone density. It helps with mood. It helps you to be calm. It helps to counterbalance estrogen. And so if it's true that you continue to make a lot of estrogen in your body as you age, then taking estrogen doesn't make as much sense, and it still makes sense to take progesterone even if you don't have a uterus, because you can make estrogen from other places. You can still make it from your ovaries, you can make it from your adrenals, and your fat makes estrogen. So you have estrogen in other organs besides your reproductive organs. So you don't necessarily want to give everybody estrogen. Although my colleagues, my naturopathic colleagues who are into estrogen replacement, say it's okay to give estrogen, but you definitely want to give progesterone as well. So there was a study where progesterone and supplementation improved night sweats and sleep quality among perimenopausal women, and blocking estrogen and taking DHEA prevents many menopausal symptoms in related conditions like obesity and insulin resistance. So DHEA is something that I can give over the counter. It's a supplement that you can buy at health food stores and drug stores, and it's over the counter. And so I tend to measure my perimenopausal, anybody who has hormonal concerns, I tend to measure their DHEA. And if they're low in DHEA, I might offer it. And so giving DHEA plus progesterone might be a good cocktail for somebody who's experiencing menopausal symptoms that they're not comfortable with. DHEA also helps with fat loss and helps with blood sugar regulation and insulin resistance. So a lot of people believe that they're low in estrogen because of the blood work, and they actually have high levels in their organs. So you won't necessarily show the estrogen in your blood. Serum estrogen levels are not representative of estrogen that's stored in your tissues. It can be low in plasma and high in your tissues. So you can also measure prolactin. So prolactin levels, prolactin is the hormone that comes from your pituitary gland and stimulates you to make milk. It has some other functions in your body, but that's mostly what it does. So if you look at prolactin levels, that can tell you what's going on with your estrogen activity. Estrogen stimulates your pituitary gland to produce prolactin. So if you have adequate prolactin, if it's well within the reference range or it's in the high end of the reference range, you probably still have good estrogen activity, even if your serum estrogen is low. So when you're perimenopausal, have your doctor check estrogen, progesterone, DHEA, and prolactin. And of course, FSH and LH, which are coming from your ovaries. And when they're high, then you know that you're perimenopausal. So when your prolactin is high, it signals increased estrogen receptor activation, whether from the body's own estrogen or environmental exposures like microplastics. The relation is particularly significant when combined with low thyroid function, which makes prolactin an important marker for identifying hormone balance. So that was a great start. That's very a very interesting start to estrogen, to whether you should have estrogen in your body, you know, taking estrogen exogenously when you're in perimenopause. But that is all we have time for today. So I will continue with that topic next week. You have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, Buzzsprout, and YouTube. You may also watch the recorded Facebook Live episode at Fran Storch, ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of the station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS stores, and WHUS.org.